Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to start today's teaching by reading from portions of the scriptures. The first one is Romans chapter 12. It said, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, last week, we began to teach about this matter of walking in the will of God for our lives, and we explained some points which I would just like to recapitulate for a few minutes. We explained that God's will indeed is very good, like we've read here, that means that is the thing that we get the satisfaction that we are looking for in life from. That Jesus said that my nourishment comes from doing the will of him that sent me and from finishing his work. We established that this will of God for your life was prepared first before you were formed. That is, you were formed on a template of the will of God. You understand my point here? That is, before God decided to create you, the first thing he created was his will. Are you getting my point? And you are just an expression of God's desire for this life. Now, let me explain that briefly. That is, when God didn't just create you for you sake. He created you for everybody's sake, and created you, the Bible says, for his pleasure. That is, after God decided what was his good pleasure, and what God decided would be the good of mankind, he created you to fill those purposes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that is what is called the will of God. We read from Psalm 40, prophetically speaking about Jesus Christ, who said that I come to do that which was recorded about me in the volume of the book. And we said that from Psalm 139, we know that everybody was formed, is in what part was created with a particular purpose in mind. And all these things we said is the will of God. And we said that will is not only good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. And we do not have the ability to divide it into three parts of good, acceptable, and perfect. No, all of them constitute the quality in that will of God, and that you can choose to walk out of God's will, or you can make up your mind that you will walk in a manner pleasing to God, which is what is called the will of God. I hope you remember that. Now, so that's what we started, and let me just emphasize again that we said that most human beings walk out of God's will initially, at least. Now, and then there's another point I made which I should quickly remind us, and that is the fact that it is possible to walk in the will of God at all times. It is possible. It can be done, and that should be the quest of your life. Now, I hope you are getting my point. So we said that we all walked out of the will of God. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has gone in his own way. Are you getting my point? But he said, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That is, our going our own way, our going the way we like, the punishment for all of that was laid upon Jesus. And that Jesus shed his blood to reconcile us into God's will. That the death of Jesus was not an end in itself, but was the means to an end, to bring men who had gone astray back into the will of God. And that the quality, the secret, the mystery of Christianity is the fact that you can forgive a man of having walked outside God's will, and you can now cause him to walk naturally and spontaneously and at all times in that will of God. Are you getting my point? And that, we said, is the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you will remember that. There's another thing I explained last week, and I think I should remind us again also, and that is the fact that I'm not going to give you steps into how to discover God's will. There's not like give you 5 or 10 steps, do this and do that and do that, and then you will have found out what God's will is. I am not teaching divination. That is what is called divination. I'm not teaching you how to cast your pellets and read the will of God. Now, let me explain this quickly. There is a season we are in. After the death of Jesus Christ and the introduction of that power of the resurrection of Jesus, which is what we call Christianity, God has left the realm of divination. You do not go to somebody now to pray or to cast a pellet and tell you what the mind of God is. That season has passed. The Bible said that in former times it spoke in diverse manners, in diverse ways, through the prophets, through people who were able to divine. But in these last days, he speaks in his Son. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the birth of the Spirit of Christ into you that launches you into the will of God at all times. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That it is possible for you to walk in the will of God at all times without making consultations with anybody. Are you getting my point? That the Bible said as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is, there is a spirit that God places inside you that compels you to walk in the will of God. If I may just take time to explain that again, that Jesus said that I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. What was he saying? He said that there is a compulsion, there is this force inside me that makes me do the will of God. That's what he's saying, that thy law. He wasn't saying that I have all your commandments memorized. No. A law does not always mean commandment. A law sometimes means simply principles or a force within a man's soul. Like Paul will say, he said that I find a law working in my members. He said there is a law of sin and death. He said there is a law of the spirit of life that is found in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? So when Jesus said, thy law is within my heart, what he was saying is that there is a force, there is a principle, that is, there is a power of God inside me that pushes me in the direction of God's will at all times, that I need to force myself to walk against that. Are you getting my point? And what God wants to do through the blood of Jesus, again, we are emphasizing, is to bring all of us to that point where when we wake up in the morning, the will of God will push you in a particular direction. Like you will hear about Jesus Christ, that the Bible said that compassion moved him. That his compassion had the force to push Jesus in a particular direction. Don't ever forget that. It's a powerful force. Are you getting my point? That is, Jesus will wake up and something will grip him. And that thing, it will be if the force of the Spirit pushing him to do the will of God. That's why Jeremiah said that when I said I will no longer preach, he said the word of God became like fire shot up in my bones and I couldn't hold it back. You are following what I'm going to say here. That is God's plan for your life. That the word of God will indwell you and it will become flesh, giving you desires, giving you direction, giving you impulses if necessary, giving you what is necessary to settle you in the center of the will of God. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right. So I was explaining that we are not going to teach steps. No, we are infusing spirit. Are you getting my point? We are not teaching steps. We are getting that force of God into your heart. And listen, the Bible said that you increase in grace. Grace is the power of God that is manifested towards those who believe. Are you getting my point? That is, as you increase in the knowledge of God, grace is released. So actually what I am doing is increasing your knowledge of God, that power of God will walk towards you if you believe the things that I'm saying. You understand that point? So we have said many things which we have just reviewed now. And today I want to go on into some other things in that regard. What exactly is this will of God? We said that it's something that is written. It was written before we were born. Don't forget that. Now, I want to explain this point. Please follow me very closely. By explaining what the will of God is not. Are you getting my point? I have a friend. When he wants to give you direction to a particular place, he has a very interesting way of giving direction. He will insist you write it down. So he will tell you, you get to this junction, count three streets, you get to another junction. Then he will describe how you get to that place. Then he will tell you, once you see this signboard of this particular thing, you know you have missed the way. When you see a building that is red, you think he's telling you, then that is the place to turn. He said, once you see that red building that's four stories, know you have already missed the place. Turn back and go and start again. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, so what I'm saying here is this. So I want to use the same principle in our teaching here by explaining what the will of God is not. So that when you are getting into what I'm about, some of these things I'm saying, you will know you have left the will of God, really. Are you getting my point? Now, because why I'm explaining this is this. A lot of people like to come and look for the will of God when they want to make crucial decisions. Most importantly, marriage. Are you getting my point? Or the man has 5 job offers, all of them very juicy and lucrative. He wants to know which one is the will of God. Are you following my point? Now, when people say things like that, you know what they are trying to say, really? Because you have to understand something about words. Words are more than just the sound that they sound like. You know, like Shakespeare said, roses called by any other name will still smell just as nice. If you like, call rose engine oil. It is still a flower. You understand my point? You understand? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So it is not the words you choose. There are people who hide behind words. I say, no, this is not what we are doing. This is what we are doing. The issue is, what you are doing is what matters. It's not the words that you use. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Okay? So when people use words, there are concepts behind their minds, which is what we want to align correctly when it comes to the terminology, the will of God. You follow what I'm saying? So somebody comes and tells you, what is the will of God? What is he really saying? He's saying, for example, if it is marriage, he's saying which man will be very rich or remain rich. That's what she said. Which one will love me and not take a second wife? That's what she said. And that's what she means by the will of God. And let me tell you something. When you go and ask somebody for the will of God, and the person tells you something. Now, listen to this. This is a warning. I have to explain it to you. God is kind, but the Bible says that God is not mocked. He said to the shrewd, he shows himself as shrewd. To the crafty, he shows himself as crafty. To the man who wants to hear something, God tells it to him. Are you getting my point? That is, Balaam prayed, God, should I go? God said, don't go. Then they brought more money, and then Balaam went to go and pray again. Then God said, go. That is, you want to hear, go. Now, you remember when Jehoshaphat and Ahab, kings of Israel and Judah, sat down, and there were prophets prophesying in front of them. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. That the prophets all prophesied and said, go. Go to battle. Now, the people wanted to go to war. And they wanted to hear the will of God before they go. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Like I'm saying, the will of God is not the thing that I really want to do, and I want to find an excuse, a spiritual excuse for doing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ahab wanted to go to war. He had begged Jehoshaphat to come with him, and they wanted to hear from the mouth of the prophet whether they should go. And Ahab, the prophets began to prophesy the will of Ahab, and they were calling that the will of God. Now, I want you to understand something here. Were they lying? No. Read it very well. Because when Micaiah came, in response to the spirit of Jehoshaphat, to bring the truth out, he said, I saw, it was a spiritual vision there, I saw spirits that God sent, but they were lying spirits in the mouth of his prophets. That is, the prophets prophesied by inspiration, but they spoke lies. Themselves, they were not lying. They saw vision. So that's why I'm never impressed with somebody said that I saw a vision or somebody prophesied to me. You see, before you can receive the word of God, it depends on what is inside your own heart. You will notice that as they were speaking, Jehoshaphat's spirit did not receive it. Why? Because he had the right spirit. And he listened to all of them and he just perceived that these spirits are lying spirits. He said, don't you have another prophet? And Ahab said, the other prophet never prophesies good about me. This is the next thing I want to say about the will of God. The will of God is not what you consider good. Listen, he said, my word can be like snow and it can be like water. I was listening to Derek Prince. Derek Prince said, snow and water, they both fertilize the earth. He said, but why is one snow and one is water? He said, because of the weather in which they drop. He said, if your heart is cold and it is hard, that when the word of God comes, it will be like snow and it will be uncomfortable. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, see, listen to this. The will of God is not what you consider good. Now, don't forget, we have already established that the will of God indeed is good, but it is not what you consider good. Don't ever forget that. That is, you go to, like these people came, they wanted to go to war, and God spoke to them as they wanted to hear. Don't ever forget that. And that's why I want to lay some foundations correctly. If we don't get it, we will get into trouble. God will speak to you as you want to hear if your heart is not right. Which takes me to the first foundation for really knowing the will of God. You must have the right heart. We'll come back to that. Let me just go on in what we are discussing about what the will of God is not. The will of God is not that which is acceptable to everybody. You know, a man says, what is the will of God? There are these women, I don't know which one to marry. What he's really saying is that which one will my father like and my relations like? The will of God is not what everybody agrees with. That's not necessarily what the will of God is. If they agree with the will of God, good for them. But God does never change his will because everybody will agree. Are you getting my point? Sometimes the word of God comes and Jesus said, it will be like a sword. dividing the father and the son, creating enmity between the father, mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. He said that, look, it's unfortunate, but it happens. It is not the fault of the word of God. It is the fault of their heart. Because if one person wants to follow God and the other one does not want to follow, there has to be enmity. You cannot help it. God does not bring peace at all costs. No. He said, as much as it depends upon you, follow peace with all men. There are times it doesn't depend upon you because they have made themselves your enemy. At such times, David will pray and say, God, arise against them. There's nothing you can do about that. Are you following what I'm saying about the will of God? That the will of God is not necessarily that which is popular. The will of God often is unpopular. You are doing something, nobody likes it, but it is the will of God. But what does the Bible say? They are unable to accept the truth because they love the praise of men. If your primary assignment in life is to be agreeable with everybody, then you will never discover God's will. Let me explain that to you again. If what is pressing you is for you to be popular, then forget ever knowing the will of God. Do you know what killed Saul, the king of Israel, the first king of Israel? He said, the people, it was the people, it was not me. Why did you not destroy all the animals like God said you should? He said, the people took them. And I didn't want to offend the people. How do I know he said I didn't want to offend the people? When it was time to sacrifice, he said, the people were about to depart from me. So I sacrificed contrary to the instructions that I was supposed to wait for Samuel. Then when Samuel told him that God had departed from you, he said, return with me now and sacrifice so that the people, you have to understand, his emphasis was what the people thought about him. Listen, if in your life your emphasis is what people think about you, then you will never discover God's will. The will of God is not what you consider popular. It is not what you consider good. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, we're discussing these things about what the will of God is not. Let me just emphasize this before I leave it. The will of God is not that which you like to do, and you are looking for a spiritual excuse to do it. Are you following my point? I remember a lady I met once, a senior person. She was transferred by her company where she worked, and she didn't want to go on the transfer. And she woke up in the morning and said, the Spirit of God didn't tell me to go. And I would look and say, does the Spirit of God need to tell you to do what is appropriate and right and just? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Oftentimes, people hide behind fake spirituality. They don't want to do their duty. They say the Spirit of God has not told them to do their duty. Listen to me. God never tells a man to do his duty. Are you following my point? God only commands you to do what you are not likely to do naturally. Are you following my point? Things that will come to you naturally, he doesn't command you about them. Like when he tells you, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. You know why? Because you are likely to forget. It is likely you will forget. Anytime God commands about something, check it. Most times, what you will have done is the opposite of that thing, naturally speaking. That is why God has never commanded anybody, thou shalt sleep at night. Never. That's why he doesn't command people, thou shalt remember to eat. When he talked about food, he only told them what they were not supposed to eat. Because he knew without the commandments, they will eat everything. Including that which is poisonous. The fact that something comes to you naturally in life does not make it right, does not make it good. In fact, this is how you know that thing will come to you naturally. Once God commands you against it, then know that the danger is that it will come to you naturally. Are you getting my point? If you go to the Western world where they have liberalized every kind of moral law, their excuse is that this is how men are naturally. I was reading something about the one man who started the sexual, he laid the scientific basis for the sexual revolution in the Western world. Do you know the truth? The man went and investigated people. You know, he found out, his investigation was skewed. It wasn't properly done. But in his scientific study, he showed that a lot of men are homosexuals. So he said homosexuality is natural. So why do we legislate against it? He forgot one thing. That things that are legislated against are not things that are unnatural. Do you understand? You don't need a law against that which is not natural. Are you getting my point? If somebody wouldn't do something, why do you make a law? Have you ever seen the law? Thou shalt not climb without a staircase above 25 floors. Show me the man who will climb 25 floors without a staircase. Isn't it not with the advent of air travel and the raising of a telecommunication mast, we started having laws governing airspace. The days that men only walked on ground and on the seas, they never wrote laws about the airspace. What am I saying? The will of God is not that which comes to you naturally all the time. No. The will of God is the will of God, written before you were born, and you are supposed to conform to the will of God. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say in these things I'm saying. Now, so remember what we said, that what we really want to discuss today is, what is the will of God? Let me emphasize that again, having said these things, that the will of God is not. The will of God is that which God wrote before you were born, and which God formed your inward past to fit, and which God wrote that your everyday life should fit. Are you getting my point? Now, when he was doing it, he was not doing it primarily to fit what you feel good about. He did not do that, that is not write it to fit what will be popular. He did not write it to fit what you would just like to do naturally. Now, get what I'm trying to say here. He just wrote it according to his perfect plan and according to his pleasure. That is, God said, this is pleasing in my sight. And that is what defines God's will. That which is pleasing in God's sight. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me say it again. What defines something as the will of God is that the thing is pleasing in the sight of God. Do you follow that? It doesn't matter if everybody else refuses to like it. That's their problem. It is the will of God once it is pleasing in God's sight. That's why we read from Romans chapter 12. It said, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what is acceptable. We're talking about the will of God. The will of God is that which is not only good, but it is acceptable in the eyes of God. What am I saying? You may want to consider a marriage proposal. When you say what is God's will and you want to pray about it. Remember what we said something when we started speaking? That when you use words, what really matters is what the word connotes in your heart. If you tell your friend, I will send you a piece of rubbish tomorrow. And when he gets the rubbish, he gets a bunch of rose flowers. It's still nice. Why am I even talking like a Westerner? Let me talk like a Nigerian. If you tell your friend that, I'm going to send you a piece of rubbish tomorrow. And tomorrow you send him a pack of recharge cards. You know, the guy, he likes the rubbish. He will phone you next day and say, oh, well, when am I expecting more rubbish? You are following what I'm saying here. So when you say the will of God, God sees your heart. That have you come to find out that which is pleasing in my sight? Or the one that will give you more money? Or the one that will make you more popular? Or the one that will, in quotes, in your own opinion, make you happy? Once you have the right thought pattern. Remember last year, towards the end of last year, we discussed about that. The thought patterns in your heart, being conformed to that of God. Once you have the right thought pattern, which says that the will of God is that which is pleasing in God's sight, it becomes easy to discern God's will. The real problem is that when people say the will of God, they have not even connected with the meaning of that word. Are you getting my point? Some think that the will of God is that which, after they spoke in tongues for 10 hours and then they began to think about it, came to their mind. So to them, that is the will of God. No, forget all those definitions. Some of them they help you. Some of them, they don't help you. Some of them are close to the truth. Some of them are far from the truth. Forget all of them. The central point is that the will of God is that which is pleasing in God's sight. The will of God is not necessarily the one my pastor told me. No, the will of God is that which is pleasing in God's sight. I want to say this again and again so that it will enter the center of our hearts. What is God's will in every situation? It is that which is pleasing in the sight of God. And the Bible says that that one is good. And let me tell you something about the word of God. Anytime God says something, it is not only correct, which is a fact, it is correct, but it will be proved to be correct. And if you try to make God's word appear like it's not correct, God will also prove that you're a liar. Are you getting my point? Now, I was listening to a man, Ravi Zacharias, and he was quoting Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde, a famous philosopher and atheist. He said, when the man was about to die, he made a statement to a friend of his. He said, everything in the garden of life that portended pain and suffering, I resisted. And everything that intimated pleasure and delight, I went towards. He said, but what I ended up doing was meeting the pain and suffering, except that I came to it the wrong way around. That was an atheist. Statement from his mouth just before he died. He lived life telling people there was nothing like morals. There were no absolutes in life. He made the word of God appear like a lie. But God ensured that in his life he testified that God's word is always true. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Every tongue must confess that Jesus indeed is Lord. You will find out that what God calls good eventually is what really is good. You know, I've had a number of people who have come from families that they had, you know, the father had many wives and all that. A number of them have told me one thing independently. They will tell me that their fathers will say, if I had the chance to live my life again, I won't marry anyone more than my first wife. I read the scriptures. I discovered that Solomon, who married the greatest number of wives, concluded by saying there is nothing better than for a man to enjoy life and rejoice in the wife of his youth. One wife. Solomon ended life believing in monogamy. I tell people, don't experiment with your life. God has already given us enough examples of experiments. Solomon's life, the man of wisdom, his life was an experiment. Don't repeat his mistakes. The man looked and said, I pursued after physical pleasure. I pursued after it. I ran and ran after it. I caught it. I met it. I got the full version. Not the trial version. The full version. He said, but I found out that the full version is emptiness, vanity. He said, what I was doing actually was pursuing after nothing. People didn't understand. When he said, I was chasing after the wind. He said, when I finally got there, I found there was nothing there. You know, there's nothing like wind, really. It's just the effect you feel. He said, when I got there, I found there was nothing there. I wanted to arrest the wind for destroying my house. I found the wind. I arrested it, nothing. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That is the way the will of God is. God's word will always prove eventually that this was the best thing you could have done, but you refused to do it. So I'm telling people ahead of time that what you need in life is the will of God. And what is the will of God? That which is pleasing in God's sight. Not that which makes more money. Not that which makes you more popular. Not that which promises you more pleasure. But that which is pleasing in God's sight. And if you discover that, you will have found the key to satisfaction in life. Then you will not need many cars to make you happy. You will not have to be building houses like birds on every tree to make you happy. You know, a lot of men who have such monies, they have acquired a curse in life. That is, they build this house, it's not enough. Have you not seen men that will keep breaking a house and rebuilding it? They keep breaking a house and rebuilding it. It is not their fault, it's lack of satisfaction. The same house, there's land elsewhere. No, that same one, they must break it and rebuild it. That is, God has given them money, but he has not given them the ability to enjoy it. Listen, God's will is what you need. You don't need anything more than the will of God. I hope you understand that.
In this series, here are more words from Pastor Banky.
The mind, the heart that really desires to know the will of God will find it easy. The ones that find it hard are those that really do not want to confront God's will. The most important thing that hinders people from knowing God's will and walking in God's will is idols. The prayer you need to pray is that God search me and remove idols from my heart. Because the will of God, I told you, is very simple. If you don't have idols, mindsets that are opposing the standard of the word of God, that's what we call idols. The labor you have to walk into God's will actually is to remove those idols from your heart. Once the idols are not there, you will find yourself walking automatically in the will of God. Solomon says something. He said, this also I have discovered, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, men will have found themselves walking automatically in the will of God, except that they have sought out many devices.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org, or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.